Welcome back for part two of 2017 goal setting. Hi, I'm Laura. I'm so glad you're joining me for part two. Cultivate what matters. I have a little story for you to start. She thought that being popular would bring her contentment. She never felt like she was enough, though. She believed the success equation was work 24/7 plus more work. She chased bigger and faster and more. And her marriage began to crumble. Yet she believed she couldn't slow down. If she missed even a minute on social media, she might miss something. She didn't think she was doing anything wrong, though, just what she had to do to keep up. She chased an elusive standard of perfection, and she missed her life. She was me several years ago. I chased my tail until it all began to crash and burn. If you have been feeling restless lately, so badly wanting things to change, but believing that it's impossible, I know one thing for sure: there is a way out. Going from constantly chasing something I would never catch to living in grace didn't happen overnight for me, but it did happen. It happened little by little, step by intentional step. And the little by little and big leaps of faith along the way were worth it. You know all those things you've always wanted to do? You should go do them. Hi again. Welcome back for part two. If you are new here, welcome. Hop on over back and read part one or listen to part one here to get started. And we're just going to get right to it. I wrote that handwriting piece that I just read to you, that you know all those things you've always wanted to do, you should go do them. I wrote that piece, which has now been shared on the interwebs tens of millions of times, so crazy. But I didn't write it about skydiving or traveling to a foreign country or anything you might typically see on a bucket list. I wrote this late one night in my kitchen, just after putting Grace to sleep when she was a baby, about wanting to finally read the Bible from start to finish. It felt like a daunting task, but I wanted to grow my faith. I was determined. This really mattered to me. And when something really matters to you in the big picture, how you do it doesn't matter as much as why you do it. My why drove me forward, especially during the many times I fell behind or wanted to jump ship. Little by little, over the course of a year and a half, I did end up reading the Bible, and it changed everything. The little by little added up. Maybe you want to cultivate a stronger marriage, find confidence in your career path, or grow in community with others. Maybe you want to learn to steward your finances well, live with less, or finally do that thing that's been on your list forever. Whatever it is, let's talk about it. Let's plant that first seed. Here is step four. As we start this journey together, what's the one thing you want to cultivate in the year ahead? No perfect or polished answers needed here. This is just to get you thinking as we start uncovering the good stuff. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Write it down or say it aloud, and I encourage you to share your thoughts on my blog at lauracasey.com/blog in the comments for accountability and to encourage others too. I'm going to leave some of my answers in the comments alongside you. Step number five. We talked about the good things from the year in part one. Now let's look at the hard things. What were the challenges you experienced in 2016? What areas of your life need to be tended, watered, or soaked in sunshine? Don't just write or say everything. Get specific and list your greatest challenges, the places that feel overgrown with impossible weeds. Now, I know you want to make this your most purposeful year yet, so don't let the negative self-talk paralyze you as you make this list. Write the facts and move forward. Each thing you write down is a potential area of your life that could be made completely new. Once you have your list of challenges from 2016, name some of the lessons you learned from those challenges. Here are a few of the lessons I learned from my challenges. I learned that God prunes those he loves to make us more fruitful, which is a verse from John 15. I learned too that we are a family and that's such a huge gift. And I also learned that worrying doesn't solve anything. I've always said that worrying is like praying for what you don't want. and that we were created for seasons. I learned that prayer really does change things. I learned that God's word is true and that he is good all the time, especially in the hard stuff. Now, a note of encouragement. Perhaps you're still in the thick of a challenge right now and you have no idea yet what that's supposed to teach you. That's okay. Wherever you are, let's share the challenges and encourage each other. Leave your thoughts in the comments on my blog or just write them out for yourself. Step number 6. Who helped you cultivate what matters in 2016? Look back at your list of good things from part 1 and all that you've written so far in this series. Who helped you to live on purpose this year? Who encouraged or inspired you? And if you want, you can download a free printable worksheet on my blog. Write the names of those you are grateful for and why, and then do something about it. Thank them for the specific things they helped you with or inspired in you. You may think they don't need encouragement or it won't matter, but words have power. Gift your people those words. You never know what good it might spark. This year, more than ever, for me personally, many friends made enormous sacrifices for our family. Here are just a few of the many. Every single person who was a part of our adoption, from our adoption consultants to my friend Casey and many more, thank you so much to so many friends that prayed us through this. We kept a private blog through the process for family and close friends, which was one of the best things we did all year. It was a safe place for us to share what we were experiencing, and it allowed friends to connect with us and pray specifically. Next on my list is this thought. When you're in the thick of it, it can be hard to reach out and ask for help sometimes, right? Now, knowing this, lots of my friends simply showed up. They showed up with food, extra hands, prayers, encouragement. My friends Talia, Tori, and Bianca often took Grace for play dates with their girls, and this was so huge. It was a hard transition for Grace with 2 babies added to the family so quickly, and 2 very tired parents all of a sudden. Our friends took her out for play dates, and this was so good for her little heart. I am so grateful. Several generous friends also gave us milk for Sarah. This was an enormous gift. I pumped for Sarah while I was still nursing Josh and made enough for a couple bottles a day, but it was undeniably hard. This is a story for a whole nother post, but these friends filled in the rest, and what a blessing. I will never forget this gift. And there are many more you can go read on my blog. One in particular that stands out is my friend Renee. I prayed for so long for a mentor to come into my life to help me prepare for adoption and to help me write my next book well and grow my faith. And through this crazy story that you can read more on my blog, Renee Swope, man, she just changed everything for me. I'm so grateful for her. My team, this has been quite a year for us. As I've mentioned, the beginning of this year was really hard with our family transition. But through it all, God was growing all of us, and I am very grateful for these women. There are so many more. If you have sent me an encouraging email this year, prayed, given me a hug, or if you were that lady in the grocery store checkout line who told me I was doing a great job on my first outing with all 3 kids by myself, when 2 out of 3 were crying and I was feeling anything but confident in my ability to wrangle 3 littles at the grocery store at the time, thank you. Thank you. Your encouragement has genuinely made a difference. Who are you most grateful for? Leave your answers in the comments on my blog, but most of all, send some love to those people on your list right now. Now here's an optional bonus step. Get visual. Make a Pinterest board of images that will inspire a purposeful year. What do you want to grow? Title your board, Make It Happen in 2017 so we can search for each other's boards. Now, one word of caution. I rarely use Pinterest, like twice a year, because it can be the black hole of distraction and discontentment. The goal isn't to have a Pinterest-worthy year, so pick images that have deep heart, not just pretty things. Now, I made this an optional step for a reason. If Pinterest distracts you too much, skip this step. There are no rules here. Do whatever will help you to make what matters happen. Okay, that's it for part 2. I'll be back with more for part 3 shortly.